settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
And welcome to the Spirits Work Show. I'm Sylvie Avery. My husband Mick and I are spirit mediums and authors, and this show is all about bringing you new insights into the reality of your world. We come from the perspective that armed with truth and knowledge, we can all have the opportunity to move forward in harmony and create a better world in the process. This week we'll be discussing spirit attachments. And on Monday, June 26th, we'll be doing a follow-up show on spirit attachments, which will be live, and you will be able to phone in with a question or a problem.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST, for the month of June, you'll be able to hear reruns of our shows at 11 till 12 every day. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, or our books and CDs, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and live on the Spirits Work Show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay. Gregory comes as spokesperson for a massive group of experts who specialize in many different subjects and genres. Each week, we have a different topic of discussion, which hopefully gives you something to think about, and that may even expand your awareness and consciousness in a positive way. Unfortunately, I actually miss out on everything because once I go into trance and Gregory comes through, I'm not aware of anything until I come back at the end of the show. But you're in good hands anyway, because Sylvie will look after you. So I'll say goodbye for now, and do have a great show.
Thanks, Mick. This is why Mick's gift is so unique, because when Gregory is talking to us, it's not words taken from Mick's mind and repeated, but the complete personality of a non-physical being from the other side of life. Gregory has come as a representative of the White Cloud Group through a combined desire to help us, which is why this educational group was formed in the first place. They've had many hundreds of years of preparation, investigations and study into all of the teachings that they bring for our benefit. They've had many hundreds of years of preparation, and even now there is continued exploration, research, investigations and study into all of the teachings that they bring for our benefit. If you are ready to understand and realize the importance of spiritual evolution within a human lifetime, then this is the show for you. And I do believe Gregory is with us now.
Well, once again, it is with the utmost love that we are here. I am so pleasured and honored, as always, to be able to be in this place at this time, in your side of life, as it were.
Thank you so much. Lovely to have you. And this week we're going to be talking about spirit attachments.
Yes, friend. They come in all shapes and sizes and affect all shapes and sizes of people. It can affect infants, children of any age, young adults, older adults. Can affect houses, castles, restaurants, all kinds of dwellings, parks and gardens. But most of all, we identify attachments with people, and that is really our central focus at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Attachments can be most varied. The reasons for them are manifold. Truth saith, it be, it is with, six and nine, with all things that are one way up or t'other. It is an attachment can be someone who is less than happy with their life, with where they are now, and that whilst a human being may not be on guard all their life toward those errant things of the spirit world, it can be that their negative action is the one who attracts them. So what I am saying, friends, is if you are a being who acts negatively in your physical life, you may be responsible, ultimately, for an attachment that comes to you. In this respect, negativity attracts negativity. Therefore, if you have descended into a negative pit of sorrow, or that you are for some reason negatively biased, that is, you enjoy violence or antagonism of some form, perhaps you like to play with people's minds, or those kinds of games which release unkind thoughts. These will attract the thoughts of others negatively displaced in the spirit world. This doesn't mean to say that all beings who think negatively will somehow raise the possibility of negative beings from our side of life swarming upon them like a horde of locusts or a swarm of bees. In fact, it is, dear friend, many people acquire attachments through situations or events they become involved with and do not actually realize their actions, their habits, if you like, have meant that someone in the spirit world has been attracted to them or their energy. It isn't that they are necessarily energy vampires, you understand. That is something else. Attachments may not actually have a very harmful effect upon you. They may just make you feel uncomfortable at times. Perhaps it may be some attachments actually begin to form words in your mind, or at times will try to infiltrate things you say or thoughts that you have, and perhaps sway your judgment one way or t'other that you would then find is out of character with your normal run of your everyday life and how you behave within it. I hope that makes sense.
Yes.
So some people then, friends, they will actually become quite sick, possibly, through attachment dealings. As I say, you will not necessarily know that you have an attachment. It will usually take some significant change which sends a warning signal to you that something is wrong, or perhaps still not even to you, but to loved ones around you, that they recognize a change in your activity and your sense of emotion, or, as I say, the way in which you judge events or situations of yourself, like comedy, what it is that you actually become involved with in your life. This will have a marked effect upon your life, make no mistake, particularly if the attachment is of a serious voice or a serious kind. Attachments may actually range in the spirit world between many different types. It may be that a being is really just having a bad day in the spirit world. It may be that they have errant dealings that they have had in the physical life that they cannot find within themselves to pay recompense for. Or that perhaps it is some situation that they actually feel less obliged to follow through in the spirit world, perhaps because of some other fear situation they feel they will be entrapped in as a result of it. Coming clean, if you would like. Coming clean with the situations and events they brought about when having a physical life. So it is then, friends. With this situation, you may have a person who is becoming increasingly instructive in your life. Maybe this is a very gradual change. You may not notice it to begin with, although you may feel that you have different feelings to those you normally expect. It may be that you have senses of change in temperature in some way around and about you. It may be that you get odd feelings, particularly along your back, around the base of your neck, or something like that. It may be that this situation is actually not referred to your mind at all, that your consciousness does simply continue to go about its own business, and you are not aware of anything that is continuing and issuing around you in your auric vibration or anything like that. You may not even be aware of your aura, or perhaps you may not even be aware of your spirit in your life. Does that mean then this attachment can be any less? Absolutely not. There are many people in the physical walk of life who actually, yes, they may say they hear voices. They may actually see people. Does this mean they're an attachment? It does not. It just means that they may be sensitive to beings from our side of life, from the ether world, who are non-physical. Just because they see them does not mean to say they are harboring any ill will, or that these beings are there uninvited, or that they do not wish to show themselves because they want to hide from you. So it may be, as what I am saying, is that it may be that it is part of that person's development that the spirit has become aligned to that person. So do not confuse a situation of attachment with a friendly, more beneficial relationship between you and someone in the spirit world. Usually, situations involving attachments will actually become quite disharmonic. You will begin to feel restless. You may even become ill through the energy resource that the attachment takes from you. That is because negative attachments need your energy to keep them attracted to you and to keep them attached to you. And they are attached, not necessarily at the beginning, of course. It will be a very tentative arrangement. But it may be that after a while, as things progress, that the spirit becomes very attached to you. And most certainly, this can happen in a physical way. I do not wish to alarm anyone at this stage of the event, but I have to warn you, some attachments may become completely physical. So, at what stage are we talking of that they can become so physical? They can actually become interfering in some way. It may be that they poke or prod you. It may be that they do other things that are even worse. It is time for help at any event. At any time when you have interactivity with the spirit world, which is neither invited nor endorsed if you are completely fearful, even with knowledge of the spirit world, and that this energy provides an obscure negativity which you have not related to before in your life, then this is obviously something to be aware of, and that will cause those alarm bells to ring within you, that you in fact really do need help. Now, it may well be that the attachment has actually formed such a relationship with your consciousness that you are not able to think of these things. That because of the attachment's infiltration, that it will actually take over a segment of control of your mind. This is why it is important that there are loved ones around you who may help you possibly recognize those situation symptoms which you may be suffering from and seek help on your behalf. It may well be some of these situations are so outside of your control that you actually have to relinquish care to someone else on your behalf.
Okay, so spirit attachments are attracted to negativity.
Primarily.
Are they always adults? That the actual attachment is going to be an adult attaching to, okay, a child, could
yes.
be a child.
Yes, it may be, in the case of a child, that the attachment itself shows itself as a child to begin with.
Right.
And this may be so that the child becomes friendly toward the attachment.
Right.
And therefore invites it in toward them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this case, it is obvious that any event linked with the spirit world should be investigated. Not by the child, because obviously the child will not necessarily be aware of how to do this, how to formulate questions or whatever to understand or bring understanding of the reasons for the spirit contact. Not forgetting, of course, that children will be able to see those of us in the spirit world far more clearer than those parents or adults around them. Therefore, it means to say that many of these situations may be quite innocent, and it may just be that this is not an attachment at all, but actually a spirit guide or a helper, or someone who just wishes to make conversation with the child.
Yes, that's an awkward situation, isn't it? Because we want to encourage children to not be afraid of spirit and to keep open like that.
Absolutely.
And yet
so.
This could happen.
Absolutely so. That is really why it is important that with any spirit interactivity, concerning children in particular, that it is a situation that is overseen by the adult, if at all possible, if they are made aware by the child of the spirit's presence.
Yes, and I suppose that's all down to whether the parents are open to this sort of thing in the first place as well.
Yes, of course.
And presumably the atmosphere of the house and the home that the child lives in, school and whatever, that's down to whether it's negative or positive as well.
Of course, yes, absolutely so. It may well be that the parents get very negative in their approach to this attachment, and perhaps they would immediately call in assistance when, in fact, they have not actually dealt with or tried to source where this information has come from or where this energy has come from, what their problem may be or why they are there. I understand that people in physical time are reluctant to become involved very often in the matters of the spirit world, particularly as such fear-laden hostility is driven towards those matters of afterlife, which is very strange, seeing as everyone will eventually become afterlife.
So when you say that they gain assistance, so do you mean then that they might go to a priest and try and get exorcism?
Yes, quite so. Yes, yes. Which, of course, is sometimes quite unsuitable. As we have explained previously, it may well be that they do not have the correct notion. They do not perhaps have the correct gathering of understanding in what exactly they should do in order to help the situation rather than hinder it or send it towards someone else. It is most necessary that all situations such as this are monitored most carefully and that the situation be resolved in an amicable way.
So who do you suggest that they go to, they seek advice from?
It is far better, of course, to seek advice from a spirit medium. This should be someone who has actually been trained to deal with situations such as this. And it most certainly, even in this, would not be suitable for a spirit medium to merely send this person to the light. Any fool can do that.
And it probably wouldn't work either.
And it probably wouldn't work either.
You say that it's actually physically attached to the body. How does this happen?
Well, basically what happens is that the exchange of energy between the etheric being and the physical host means that a kind of temporary link forges between them. And this link is actually through and between the second or third vertebrae of the neck and the fifth vertebrae of the thorax.
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere in between that area
mm-hmm.
is usually the most likely place that an attachment will first form. This is an actual physical attachment, you understand, of an energy from the etheric world drawn to the physical state. This will be because, as I said, not necessarily that the outset of it is always negative. It may be that the child has been perfectly happy, but that events within the home life have deteriorated recently or in some way, and so there has been an attraction there because of the negative energy in toward the spirit world.
Presumably then, if the child can hear voices and talks to somebody, that could be a spirit attachment if they're not actually seeing them standing in front of them and they're playing with them when they are at a distance to them.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely so. And naturally as well, if it is not an ancestral member, which of course can be verified by certain other details if the child should communicate with their parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And presumably by the things that the attachment speaks to the child about, it would be noticeable if it was a negative energy.
Yes. However, I am saying, though, at the outset, it may be that the attachment only really wants to appear friendly to begin with in order to gain trust and understanding so that the energy may then become more strongly linked to that child.
Mm.
You see, there have been perhaps times when it is a situation of a child in need in the spirit world. This is not really an attachment, but it may be that the child in need actually is a part of a dire situation which became unleashed in the physical life and actually caused their passing. And perhaps that situation has continued to occur because of the rendition of it and the failure by those loved ones nearest and dearest in the physical world to actually clean, to understand and make contact with that situation so that it is whole, so that all parties are safe. I am speaking particularly if you have a situation where the attachment is in some way to do with a very harmful negative situation. Usually it involves the taking of a life or some other aspect within the physical side of life. And that it can be an attachment then, shall we say, as a scenario, that it is to do with a child whose life has been taken by the father. And that this situation is a continual event which happens periodically in the spirit world. It may be that that child actually seeks the help of someone else in the physical side of life, perhaps being attracted to another child in the physical state, and therefore asking their help, but doing so in a very roundabout way.
And that isn't being attracted to a negative situation, that's that child seeking help.
Yes, quite so. So it is not exactly an attachment in that sense. This is why I'm saying that every situation is so very different, and you have to be absolutely careful of what you really do call as being an attachment. So it may be a situation to do with a physical passing, as I say. It may, on the other hand, be a situation that is completely unrelated to either the child or any member of the family.
Could these children who have these spirit attachments as children grow up to adulthood and even pass at old age still having the same attachment?
It may be possible, though it is usually treated at some stage in their life. It may well be that a spirit attachment grown with as a child, as it were, is actually becomes very, very difficult to undermine because their sensibility and their judgment is much more refined and hewn toward the sentiments and morality and understanding of the child. So gradually as it grows, so the attachment becomes more wise as to the ways in which that person thinks, you see. And so it then, of course, becomes increasingly more difficult to separate them. This is when, actually, you sometimes have forms of schizophrenia, which are actually very often forms of attachment formulated in formative years.
Yes, a lot of these people end up in institutions and it doesn't get dealt with.
Yes, quite so. They are then, of course, treated with medication or whatever, rather than actually rescuing the poor soul from the situation they are in.
Yes, the medical authorities in these institutions and places would not recognize spirit attachments.
Yes, they would deny it from the outset. It is not, as far as psychological science concerned, a prospect or even a beginning scenario for them to think about, which is a great shame and a very important lost opportunity for all of those who seek to bring wellness to every being that they meet. After all, this is a part of the duty of care, and a failure to do so is a failure to bring that duty of care full circle.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing spirit attachments. So presumably these places, these hospitals, secure hospitals or whatever, are places that spirit attachments actually thrive in.
Absolutely so, of course, because they are so intensively negative.
Hmm.
It will mean for those people within those walls who do not have attachments already, that they will most certainly be more vulnerable to psychological attachment and spirit world attachment.
Yes, I can see that. Yes, absolutely. Can one attract them even when they're being positive, totally positive in their life and everything's going fantastic? Can a negative spirit attachment attach themselves to you when you are being positive?
Well, actually, it is possible. So I understand this raises many question marks for a lot of people. It is possible that without the aid or without the knowledge of protection, that perhaps if you are a being who opens themselves to the spirit world and who yet in doing that does not proclaim a divine invocation or a divine prayer to begin their seance with the spirit world, after all, which is to do with communication, if they do not protect themselves in this situation or the home or the environment in which they sit, then it is possible to run the risk of infiltration from those negative energies in the spirit world. Yes.
What about if you're not doing it in that situation, if you're just a person that doesn't know anything about spirit at all?
Well, it may well be. This energy has come about perhaps due to the dwelling in which you live. Perhaps it was to do with a life event which happened in the vicinity of your dwelling, not necessarily in the dwelling itself. It may be linked to a road or an event which happened outside, some distance away. But nevertheless, the energy is attracted toward you because of different situations that you bring about yourself. Yes, agreed. You do not necessarily have to be a negative being in order to attract a negative spirit. It may be that you are a very positive being, and therefore your positivity, and that particularly if you are a very loving being, then your love will actually shine as a beacon everywhere you go. This means it will be a beacon that will be seen by those in the spirit world who may be in need. It may be a place that is suggested by others to go and visit, so that they may, in understanding that you are perhaps a good listening person, feel they can find help with you as that emotionally stable and loving being.
And then they attach themselves to you.
Eventually, that is a possibility. I'm not saying that it is always something that will happen. It is usually something which a spirit medium, during the developmental process, will be aware of methods and ways in which to protect oneself. And so, it will normally be as standard practice that through this protection, such scenarios would very rarely occur.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd like to go into protection in detail, specifically in our second show.
Yes, Finn.
Which would be really, really good. So, can you have a positive attachment? If the attachment, you know, if it's an infiltration of your life, then obviously that's not a positive thing.
No, quite so.
So say.
If it is something which will affect your free will or your motivation, if it is something which will deplete your energy in some way, or will harm some affective thought you may have toward situations of free will you face, then that is an attachment. If it is someone in the spirit world with great positivity who actually looks toward you in favor and actually tries to bring constructive, positive situations of both energy and actual input into your life, then that is not an attachment.
Mm.
It is a helper or a spirit friend.
Mm.
There is a great difference between them.
I know that there's a lot of people that would say that because they walk with their angels and they've got their doorkeeper or their guardian angel or whatever guides with them, that they feel that this sort of thing would not or could not happen to them.
Yes.
That they are protected.
Yes, because it is always thought by people in the physical life that beings of negative vibration are obviously of a lower energy. And the premise, therefore, is that all spirit workers, so long as they work in the light and are full of love, and that their energy is higher, and they are constantly striving for higher and greater attunement and raising of their consciousness vibration, that they could not possibly gravitate to such a thing as an attachment. It may be that that is the case. After all, the higher vibration you have about you should really mean that those beings of physical life who are extremely negative cannot reach you, simply because the differentiate between the vibration at which you are at and also the vibration of which the spirit attachment or potential attachment is at would obviously be considerably lower. However, that is not the case with attachments such as aliens, who may have a far higher vibration than a human being, and even with that facet may still be of a great negativity. some alien beings and species are able to alternate their vibration and change it and actually present themselves as a human being.
Ah, right. And they attach themselves to human beings as well.
Yes, quite so. Although you would not know it at the time, but you may find that through this scenario, that it becomes more and more penetrable during the relationship.
So, are they necessarily discarnate aliens, or are they aliens that are just of a different, how shall I say, yeah, of a different vibration to us?
It may be both.
Right.
Or either.
Mm-hmm.
There are very many variations upon this theme.
Mm-hmm.
I do not wish to dwell upon it, but I thought it important enough to mention.
Oh, I think it's very important to mention.
After all, we are dealing here with finding different scenarios which may affect human life and therefore change their behavior, their life pattern, and their well-being.
And if it's a fact and a possibility,
then we need to address it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, it's something that's got to be talked about, because we can't go around saying, no, well, if we don't talk about it, basically that we don't want to scare people.
No, quite so. And I do have to say that attachments in the past have been actually quite rare, but that they are becoming more and more. And I would not say, of course, that in medieval times attachments were completely unheard of. Of course, many beings who were loathsome in their life actually probably were besotted by different attachments or spirit forms who were infiltrating their behavior and causing them mischief and creating mayhem in the physical side of life. Now again, I say you cannot use the exorcism route in order to bring some form of clearance about in this situation. It has to come from different ways, from different cycles of advice and understanding, both from the spirit world and from those who may be knowledgeable in that event.
Hmm. So would maybe evil dictators and tyrants of our history have had spirit attachments?
Some did, yes, most certainly.
Can you name any?
Absolutely. I do believe Adolf Hitler had 3 attachments, even though he was actually spiritually very active. This was a strange situation.
Hmm.
It became so even more dominant because he had a mindset that he was right. And that made it even more difficult and unpalatable for the tasks that he performed. And of course, those around him also became infected with the same great negative swamp.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And there have been others, serial killers, people who have raped and pillaged, people who, through the disgusting acts of war, actually find themselves with discarnate spirit attachments.
Mm-hmm.
And that what actually happens is that their memory is, in a sense, painted by the spirit attachment. It becomes a much stronger focal force for them in their lives than the life that they had before the trouble started.
And so a person can be perfectly normal, like you say, can rule a country, in fact, and be perfectly okay in some instances, and then just have this other side to them.
Yes, quite so. Like a dual personality, I believe you would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does it control the mind, control the brain as well?
Yes. Basically, what happens is that the spirit attachment runs energy tentacles through the physical body. These are not things which are necessarily seen, but they are felt, usually, by the person who is being attacked in that way. It may be, as I say, that their behavior changes erratically. It may be the person is interfered with in some way, perhaps during some ordinary event in their lives. Perhaps they are driving a motor vehicle, perhaps doing some other thing, operating a piece of machinery or something like that,
mm-hmm.
in their job of work.
Mm-hmm.
It may be, on the other hand, they are doing something in the kitchen, preparing food, or really doing mundane chore-like things to do with everyday life. And that what can happen is that accidents are created. which is something that they like to bring about, because this then creates drama, further negativity, and great apprehension and lack of ability of control on the part of the physical human being who is infected.
And so they gain more power from that situation.
Of course, yes. This only feeds the situation into becoming stronger. You may find that they actually withdraw immediately afterward and observe the situation from a little way off.
But they're always still physically attached.
Yes, in some way. They leave a residual energy with them at all times. Doesn't mean to say that they are necessarily there at all times, you understand?
But it's sort of like a doorway. They leave the door open.
Yes, quite so.
Do these attachments have to learn how to do it? I mean, how do they come across this situation that they can do it and they are able to do it?
Well, basically what happens is that because of their extreme negativity or the situation, as I say, that has occurred in their life, and that is why they are drawn to dwelling in the path of negativity and the doing of meddling in other people's affairs and that kind of thing, is usually because they are trying to move away from scenarios and situations that they really have to repair in their own life, in which case it may be events they do not wish to face, as I said before. And it will be that they will try any winding route to avoid confronting that aspect of themselves. So what they will do is they will use that same plan, that same way of avoidance, by seeing if their presence can be felt by a physical human being. It actually begins as a game. And gradually the game develops to seeing how they can avoid certain situations, even if they have an actual impact upon that situation. They bring cause and effect to someone who is otherwise of a free will thinking mind. And by actually disturbing the life of that person, that physical person, they are then looking at their own handiwork and realizing that their energy has in fact infiltrated a physical life. This means they have brought about a result from interactivity interdimensionally, at which point they are usually elated, which raises their vibration. Therefore, it is then becoming harder to trace who they are or how they got there. Because at that point, they have actually raised their vibration, so they are closer to you. And the more they feed with their energy from your energy, from the things that you do in their interactivity with you, it means that they are actually creating this inner relationship, unbeknownst to you, perhaps, of their whereabouts, or even that they are there at all.
Sounds like a person that has one would feel very tired a lot of the time, drained.
Well, yes, absolutely so, as I said in the beginning. People with attachments generally tend to be driven to bed. This is not to be confused with outright fatigue of labor or of the product of the mind. But there are quite a lot of differences, although some people fail to recognize these discrepancies of energy and actually muddle them up into thinking they have attachments when they do not. They are simply overworked.
Right. Can someone have more than one attachment at any one time?
Yes. An interesting point, in fact, is that very often when one attachment begins, it soon becomes apparent that others have attached themselves to the attachment. It may be that because of the attachment's lower vibration, that this in fact sends a signal out to others. And these others may also have ulterior motive and issue, depending upon why they are there in the first place, why they are at that level of vibration. It may be that their intent is something less obvious than the initial attachment. So if you are someone to rescue this situation, it can actually be quite a complicated set of scenarios to unwind and play out so that you actually define the correct characters, the situations involved in what has brought the situation together, and how to actually resolve it. It takes a different twist.
Absolutely. Is it easy to get rid of an attachment from somebody?
It depends entirely upon who they are, why they are there, what the energy is, what the function of that energy is, what created the energy in the first place, what scenario through the persons, through the attachments, physical life that they came upon this rocky hollow that they find themselves in, why it occurred, and how that may be repatriated to their physical life once they had it, and how it can now be resolved in the spirit world.
And is it harder to get rid of one that's been there a long time?
Yes, of course it is. It will also possibly be harder if the attachment is well known to the spirit group, or if it is that the attachment has gained a great deal of knowledge and understanding of just how and what to manipulate in order to infiltrate a single consciousness mind.
And presumably they tried to be devious and have different ways and means of avoidance.
Of course, because the more devious, then the access routes can be made more complex. A system of change, therefore, very seldom resolves the situation, which is another reason, incidentally, why exorcism very rarely works in itself. It may rid the residual energy initially, but the actual remains of the reason of the spirit attachment will continue in conflict.
And the doorway will still be open.
And the doorway will still be open, yes.
So how do you tell if it's schizophrenia or an attachment?
Well, as I say, this really is a system of dealing with through discussion, through dialogue with an individual who is, shall we say, dual personality or something like that. It will depend entirely. It may be that the one side of Jack is perfectly normal and has completely rational life, and yet the other side is in some way uncharacteristically hostile. Does that mean to say necessarily that they are attachment? No, of course not. It may purely be that they are a multiplicit personality. Sometimes, very rarely, it may be that a person has a dual personality who that it is not actually an attachment, but actually two people occupying one physical body. That is not an attachment. It is a dual form.
Right. Can we talk more about that?
Well, possibly so, yes. This is actually to do with soul discrepancy. What happens is that two people in the spirit world, two individual spirits, actually become attracted to one physical being, and that both decide that they wish to be that being. It may be that they both had a relationship within the spirit world. It may be they were just very good friends. And, of course, knowing that in the soul group in particular, if it was two different beings and that they had a very similar vibration index, because that is why they are both in the same soul group, it may mean that they actually both decided to pick the same physical life.
Okay, so in that case, the two sides of the personality wouldn't be one negative and one positive. They would they would be in harmony with each other.
Yes, they would. In fact, so, yes. It would just mean that it would be as though you have two completely different personalities, however. That one would not necessarily correlate with the knowledge of the other, you see.
Right.
Almost like having two separate minds at work in one body. Which, of course, it is two different consciousness. The memory will be different. Everything about it will be different. One may acknowledge the other or may disavow the other. It can become quite a strange situation.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, because we've been talking about the brain and the mind not being the same thing for a long time now.
Yes.
So in that case, it would only be one brain, but it would be two minds.
Yes, but do not forget, my friend, that in order to work the physical brain, which is really to do with a set of triggers, neurons, and electrical impulses, it is to do with the joining of certain wires or connections from one place to another place, which then fires a connection memory. In being able to use this memory cell, it means that you are allocating a timeline. You are allocating an energy path from one source to another source. It is to say that in this dual personality scenario, both different energies will utilize and connect with different aspects of the pathway to possibly connect with the same information and also to alternately create different situation within the same brain function.
Couldn't it get a bit busy in there?
Well, yes, but do not forget, my friend, that as human beings, you only really rarely use 10 or 15% of your total capacity for thought.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it is a little undervalued and underused, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So really, to have two people occupying the system of brain activity and the conscious state, it actually means that all you are doing is you are exercising what you already have.
Mm-hmm. The available space.
Yes, quite so. Mm-hmm. So it isn't crowded at all.
No, no.
So as I say, with this situation, it will not necessarily be that it is a harmful thing. It may be quite a normal, practical thing.
That's very interesting. What happens to an attachment when the person, the host, passes to the spirit world?
Well, basically what can happen is that the attachment stays with them, for a while at any rate. That is, until the reading of the Akashic Book. It may be, on the other hand, that the doorkeeper, whom we have not mentioned yet, actually then is able to step in because the whole scenario has come full term and returned back to the spirit world, in which case the attachment is then shown, made aware they can be seen and identified. However, it may be that that attachment is still of such a low vibration, they obscure themselves from sight, and either from the vibration intensity that happens in the spirit world, in the soul group in particular, during the recounting of their physical life.
Right.
Which is actually quite amazing considering the amount of energy that is present during that recounting and recompense and reconciliation of that life, particularly during the Akashic Book reading of that life.
Mm-hmm. It's because the mind goes with the spirit to the spirit world.
Yes, as forming an envelope of the consciousness. Mm-hmm. It is an actual pattern of the consciousness which becomes fixed to the spirit upon passing when the etheric bead is cut. Now, it, as I say, may well be that the doorkeeper at this point recognizes the spirit attachment. Now, I have to say, there are situations when a doorkeeper cannot actually identify or do anything about a spirit attachment, essentially, because the doorkeeper, after all, yes, they are there to protect you, but ultimately, their ultimate pathway and choice and deed to do in your interactivity with your physical life as spirit guide means that they are there to bear witness to your life, not to interfere with it, but to help you to recognize through your free will, if at all possible, if you have the energy resonance for it, to identify situation that you are in, that you are a physical being, but that, importantly, you are a spirit having a human experience.
Right. Okay.
It is important to understand the relationship to do with the doorkeeper. Many people think that because they have a doorkeeper, that they have no need or no reason to actually think themselves into a bubble or to actually create a protection zone around themselves when they go into a haunted house or when they go into a situation of extreme negativity. They never think to cover their solar plexus or any other essence of their own well-being and safety, purely because they understand from a practical point of view that they are protected at all times by their doorkeeper. Therefore, they fail to actually bring about any residual guard themselves or understanding of how to actually protect self against such incoming negativity and therefore leave themselves wide open to attack.
Hmm. Well, that's very misguided because we know that that does happen.
Yes, quite so. Particularly, I have to say, to many people who are developing mediumistic skills or that kind of thing. Perhaps it is to do with when they are first instructed in certain crafts or arts of defining their gifts of spirit mediumship or spirit possibility. Their spirituality gateway opens and immediately they think, possibly, that everything that comes in is wonderful and that everything that is incoming is for their benefit. Well, in the long run, I suppose you could say a spirit attachment is of a benefit, because without them, you would not know of their existence, would not understand their extreme negative behavior and the intolerable situations that may create in your life.
Mm-hmm. And in particular, we hear often, don't we, about EVP?
Yes, quite so. These are to do with electronic voice recordings of phenomena which occur when the spirit world are actually making residual contact with the physical world, perhaps by asking. Perhaps they are attracted to the energy of a physical being when they visit their place of rest. As you well know, many EVP recordists actually visit graveyards. And when they do this, if they move to that place unprotected, or without saying any invocations, and this, too, I have to say, is exactly the same with those who hunt for ghosts or for any other form of etheric world identity that they seek to play with or that they seek to have interactivity with, that they very seldom say prayers or invocation of protection before entering into such a place, in which case they, too, are subject to a form of attachment or infringement on their free will and their personality. They may in fact take someone home with them and not even realize it, and then wonder why their house becomes hot, as it were, why it becomes hot with activity, with situations and events they cannot explain, banging doors, turning on of taps, that kind of thing, or perhaps even worse, being pinned up against a wall or something like that by unseen hands or unseen forces.
Mm. Yes, we hear of this sort of thing all too often.
Yes, quite so. It is because of a lack of good common sense and behavior that if you should have to go to visit a graveyard late at night, and I cannot think for any reason why you would want to do that, or at any time of the day, in fact, that when you do have to do that, that you go with a prayer of protection, that perhaps if you are going there to visit a relative or loved one, or the remains of them, don't forget that they can actually be someone whom you visit regularly anyway within your mind. You do not actually have to go to their physical resting place, for that is just a place of bones and tissue and decay. It is not where their spirit remains. Their spirit remains in the ether world, where you too may one day occupy.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, Gregory, and on our next show about spirit attachments in about a week and a half's time, we'll be talking about how you can protect yourselves and how you can help also, maybe possibly do this sort of work, rescue work, to help people who have spirit attachments.
Absolutely so. We look forward to it with love and light, with positive energy, and knowledge and understanding of the truth always be prevailing in all forms of communication we make.
Thank you.
God bless upon your journey, friend.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us, as well as our Spirits Work radio show on BBS Radio on Mondays and Thursdays. We have the Spirit Teaching radio show on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Details are also on our site. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirits Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.